Sea of Hands really came about back in 1997, where a group of Australians got together to show their support for reconciliation. And they planted some 70,000 hands in front of the Australian Parliament. And from that, ANTAR, the organisation that I'm national director of, was formed and has been working for reconciliation and rights for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people since.
And this year, the Sea of Hands is down at Barangaroo Reserve in Sydney. Why was that site chosen?
Barangaroo Reserve down on Sydney Harbour was named after an important Cammeraygal woman and wife of Bennelong. We thought it was a good site, also within sight of the Harbour Bridge, where the bridge walks back in 2000 occurred, where 350,000 Australians walked across the bridge for reconciliation. And we thought that it was a great place to hold the largest Sea of Hands installation this century. So we'll be having 20,000 hands evolving over the week down there at Barangaroo Reserve.
And I believe that it was designed by the artist and researcher Brenda Elcroft.
Yeah, so it's very important for Sea of Hands installations like this that we ensure that the design is by an Indigenous artist. Brenda Elcroft has done a fantastic job in really making the Sea of Hands installation come alive in that site. I think that visitors will be very excited about what she's pulled together. It's really drawn on the history of the area.
Can you explain to our listeners what exactly is the Sea of Hands insofar as how can they get involved?
Yeah, so the Sea of Hands is really a way that people can show their support for reconciliation. We hold installations right around the country in Reconciliation Week, so schools, councils, businesses will often use our hands to hold an event to educate the broader community or their workforce about issues to do with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and history and culture. It's really a way that people can show their support, and they can also sign up to be a Sea of Hands partner through ANTAR. You know, they can dig a bit deeper into the sorts of issues that we work on.
You've been the national director now for a couple of years of ANTAR. Coming up to the election, what are some of the main issues that ANTAR are focusing on?
In the lead up to Reconciliation Week, we're really focusing on that broader community education and engaging the community around the messages of reconciliation. And this year's theme being our history, our story and our future. So we're trying to keep the politics out of it and really make this a community event. But ANTAR is always working on a range of issues around closing the gap in disadvantage, around incarceration rates, and a whole swag of issues that are affecting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So we'll be watching closely what's happening during the election campaign and working with our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander partners to get better outcomes.
As you were saying before, there was that huge momentum with the Harbour Bridge Walk back in 2001. How do you see reconciliation today? Is it something that's on people's minds? And what exactly is reconciliation?
This year is the 25th anniversary of the formal start of the reconciliation process. So the formation of the Council for Aboriginal Reconciliation was 25 years ago. And I think it's a good opportunity to reflect on, you know, how far we have come. There's now 650 reconciliation action plans in organisations around the country, from, you know, corporate organisations to community organisations to government, councils, etc. So it's a positive thing. There's still a long way to go in many areas as well, and Reconciliation Australia put out a report earlier this year called The State of Reconciliation in Australia, and they set out a really clear pathway as to what's needed. So, you know, things about acknowledging the history of the country, addressing racism, you know, closing the gap in disadvantage, all of those areas that report identified as needing more work.
You yourself, being the director, do you feel that things are getting better, or do you think that, you know, the injustices for Aboriginal people are getting worse? What do you think about that?
Well, it's, you know, it's a mixed bag. You know, there has been progress in some areas, and, you know, everywhere I look, I see Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander graduates from university coming through all of those organisations that have RAPs. There's, you know, far greater employment in those organisations. And Reconciliation Australia report, you know, found that 90% of the broader community thought that the relationship between Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and other Australians was important. So they're all, you know, positive things, but there's a long way to go in some areas. We've still got a health equality gap of some 10 years between First Peoples and other Australians. We've got an extraordinary incarceration rate of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people compared to the broader community. And all of those things need a concerted effort by government and listening to the voices of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and their representatives, because that's really the key to making some progress in these areas.
Victoria is having government consultations with Aboriginal community regarding self-determination and treaty. Have you been following these talks that are going on?
Yes, I haven't been to any of those talks, and there's a lot of processes underway at the moment around self-determination treaty and also a process unfolding around constitutional recognition. So all of those are things that were in the final Council for Aboriginal Reconciliation report in 2000. And they're all things that, you know, ANTAR supports progress on. But the important thing always is that the voices of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are at the centre of all of those developments.